Hello, ladies and gents, it's Tucker, and you are about to listen to the Tuckered Out podcast, sponsored by Queen City Grounds and Sonus Wave. So sit back, relax. If you are on a long drive, look at the road, seriously, but listen. If you are in a coffee shop, good, because that's actually where I am right now. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Welcome back to another episode of the Tuckered Out podcast. Hello, everybody. We are here with an amazing person, someone I like to call friend, but I'm going to do my best to introduce him like I usually do. We'll see how it goes, because I've gotten better at my introductions. I've introduced you before, but this one's, you know, it's on a podcast, so I got to make sure it's a little professional.
I respect it.
So the artist today that I have is crazy talented singer, songwriter, producer with amazing singles out like If I Drown and Catching Fireflies. He is a recipient of 2 Swan and Noah Gathering Scholarships, and I consider him a really good friend of mine, John Madry. What's up, dog? How you doing?
It's good to see you, man.
Dude,
I'm doing good.
Thank you for coming on the Tuckered Out podcast. I appreciate this. We've talked about it for some time a little bit, and I don't know. I feel like it kind of... since I've been here in Charlotte, you were one of my early friends in music. So it wasn't hard for me to be like, I need to get this guy on the podcast. But dude, what's been going on? How's your day?
It's going really well. Weather permitting.
I better say, what the heck? Yeah. What the heck is going on? Debbie's making some rounds.
Yeah, right.
A little
right.
bit.
I was saying, like, I enjoy a nice rainy drive. Not exactly what I meant, but I do enjoy a little light rain from time to time.
Have you performed in the rain before?
I have.
Really? Like straight up downpour? Like have they continued?
I was helping my friend with a show, and we actually had to move all the equipment under this huge tent. It was my friend Eli Yacinth, great artist.
Didn't
by
he
the way.
Play the drums at the show we were at? That guy?
No.
Oh.
No. I played with
Eli
a different Eli.
I know
so many Elis. Mm. There's so many. Yeah, we had this huge tent set up. It was at a brewery here in Charlotte. Also, brewery is the one word, like brewery. It doesn't come out right every time. We were at some kind of bar. And
bar, there you go.
Move all the equipment under this gigantic tent. And then we had to cover that equipment with a tarp because of how much rain was coming in from the wind.
Be so, like that.
So then we get under the tarp, and we're all just hanging out under there.
Did you perform under the tarp with a small little group?
One of us got a guitar out and just started, like, strumming, and we were all just, like, singing noise, like, waiting for the rain to go.
Man, I will say this. I feel like some of the best – obviously, we have some great movies that have great rain scenes, but I've enjoyed music videos that have certain rain scenes. So, like, I feel like Umbrella from Rihanna is one of the most iconic music videos of all time. Raining everywhere. And then this is kind of a song I don't know. You might know, but I'll be honest. I feel like people that are on my like Disney routes or people that know me Disney-wise will know this. But like Don't Forget by Demi Lovato. Do you know that song? That
Ooh,
song
I
has
have,
an incredible
I
rain scene.
Ironically forgotten it.
That's
crazy.
Okay. Old school Demi. I'm talking like La La Land right when she was after Camp Rock days.
Oh, okay. And I loved Camp Rock as a kid. I should mention I'm 21. So
I'm 24.
Okay.
So, no, we're good.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay.
We're good. We're in the timestamp of that area, so we're fine. That is, in my opinion, I'm just going to say the truth, top 5 movie for me. Like, involving music. Maybe I should put that at the end. Involving music. I love, well, I'm a Disney fan in general. I'm going to mention it on every podcast. I'm just a Disney freak. But I wanted to get into a little convo that involves just you, because I like me, but I will say I want to make sure I'm doing well by my guest today. So I want to start off, where are you from?
I'm from Mooresville, about 40 minutes north of here.
Oh, you're not far at all.
No.
Wait, north, straight up. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense, because now that I think about it, I asked you a few things before this podcast, and you mentioned you love the outdoors, and then you mentioned a place that I'd never been to, which I was kind of not happy about, which was the, what mountain was it? Was it
well, let's
south?
See, I mentioned Stone Mountain.
Stone Mountain. I saw photos of it, and I thought I had been. I'd never been. And my goodness, so it makes sense now. Mooresville, 40 minutes away. Got you. But talk to me about Mooresville. What was it like growing up there? How did you get into music?
Wow, okay. So growing up, I was, and I'm hoping people who are watching this podcast haven't been able to already figure this out about me, but I was homeschooled. So it's always
I didn't figure that out.
Okay, thank you. See, it's always either, whoa, I had no idea, or
no one,
yeah,
no
yeah,
one
you were.
Knows that. I would think. I have never looked at someone and said, wow, homeschool vibes.
You were a nice person.
Well, really? People have looked at you and said that?
It hasn't offended me. We joke about it. I joke about it.
But
it's
people
just like,
that you have not known will look at you and be like, wow, you give homeschool vibes.
One time someone said it without me actually saying I was homeschooled, but the other times I'm like, I was homeschooled, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, that checks out.
What?
Yeah.
I will never go down that route with someone. I feel like that is like a red flag to point that out.
Well, I'm pretty social, and I know it's hit or miss as far as like whether people are very social or not in homeschooling. It's in anything though.
You are,
I mean,
though. You're incredibly social. So, but okay, you were homeschooled.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the upbringing with that and how that went and how you kind of went towards music with that time period.
Yeah, so for a long time, and you know, I have great parents. I'll be the first to admit that.
Dude,
they have
your parents
me.
Are so awesome.
Oh yeah,
your dad
yeah.
in particular, he comes to every show.
Dude, yes,
I've
my mom comes when she can make
shows,
it too.
Uh huh. And my goodness, yeah, mom's. I don't know if I've met.
She was at
she
one
was
of my
at
first so far.
Yes,
yeah.
And I went. I was there, but dude, your dad is like the fan that every, like, if someone's doing music. You want that type of fan there where he talked to me and he knew all of your setup and he knew all of what you liked. And it was just, I don't know, it was kind of refreshing to have someone that was such a caring person to the musician that knew exactly all. Because, like, obviously, I'm around that a lot. I love these podcasts and I love, like, the events that I work with music. But man, your dad knew what you liked and preferred inside out at the shows, and I was like, "All right, respect, cool,
dude." Yes, but huge respect. Yeah. He's who brought me, him and my mom got me into music at such an early age. I mean, like
campfires, right?
Campfires, singing around campfires, mm-hmm. playing guitar. I didn't
Camp
play guitar
Rock
until see the movie. Yes.
But anyway,
so I didn't play guitar until later, but I've been singing my whole life. Yeah, for real. I started consistently at like 14 or 15 years old.
Okay. And you're 21, 6 years. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. That, okay. Checks out. So when did you get into singing? So did guitar come first or did singing?
Singing came first. Dude, I don't know a time when I wasn't singing American Pie by Don McLean, Beatles songs.
Okay.
As soon as I got into hip hop, I would just start like rapping Run DMC.
Yep.
That came a little bit later just because my upbringing was a lot of classic rock. But I also love...
Do you know about Sugar Hill Gang? Do you know them?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. I thought they're kind of in the Run DMC area code kind of.
Ooh, okay. Okay. So they're also 80s probably.
Yes, around.
That's good.
Big
That's
song
good.
They have. It's, oh, gosh. But anyway, go on. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
They performed a Panther game, and it made me think of like, maybe it was that person. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
But
I
go on. So you started... You listened to Run DMC, fantastic,
yes.
of course.
Fantastic.
You started doing camp. You obviously had done campfires. It felt like your whole life.
Yes.
Which I love that you said that because I grew up like going to the mountains, and I feel like campfires was my safe haven for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But when did you start taking music seriously to a point where you started making it? Like, what age was that, and when your comfortability started going up?
I started playing. Well, I've played video games my whole life too, and that ties
We're
into this. I enjoy video game music so much. I would like before I even looked up artists to listen to, I would listen to video game soundtracks for real.
Okay.
And I started listening to enough of those at like 12 years old. I started making video game themed beats, and I would imagine a video game in my head and be like, "Oh, this is something that I could hear like in a boss battle. This is something that I could hear in like a story section of the game." So I started working on that. No lyrics yet. No actually playing, just like dragging in the notes and everything.
Wow. What's
then
your favorite?
My favorite video game.
Favorite video game, like what are they called? Album,
like
song.
Series.
Yes.
Series. The
You mentioned it. What was it?
Uncharted.
Yes. Yes.
I have
the
not
Uncharted
done series.
That. This is based on, I mean, so that the movie with Tom Holland was based off of that, if I had to take a guess.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Why is that your favorite? That's your favorite series. Mm. Does it have the best music, or is it just your favorite like series?
Yes. Music's incredible.
Interesting.
The one thing, recent video games have started implementing songs that have lyrics into the games, and I'll talk more about that. Red Dead Redemption 2 is one of my favorite all-time video games, but it has a soundtrack with D'Angelo in it. It has Willie Nelson on there. Like,
I stink at video games. I'm going to be real with you, John. You see me on a video game.
I'm going to find a different player, too, sometime. No offense.
Dude.
But, like, I'm gonna need someone in there.
You'll catch me on the Wii.
You want to do some Wii bowling sometime?
Well, not only that, but one in particular musical type thing that I love that I would get hype off of was like Super Smash Bros. But the what's it called? Is it Emission or something where you went on like a really long quest to unlock? Yes.
Subspace, like, yeah, yeah.
And you went on a long quest to unlock all the characters, and yes. And all those soundtracks got me hype. Like, the intro to, like, some of those characters was epic. Like, Rayquaza. Rayquaza, all the dark characters. Yeah. Like, who were some of the main people?
Oh, Solid Snake was my favorite because I love Metal Gear Solid. Solid Snake.
Solid Snake.
Yeah. My parents let me play that at, like, 7 years old. Realistically, I think it was like 8 or 9 around Christmas time, and then I played Metal Gear Solid. Amazing, amazing game. It's a stealth adventure.
Oh.
So he's the guy that hides in boxes in Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Oh my gosh. You're talking about, okay, I got you now. Yeah. I don't like him. I never used him. I never used him. I liked his style. He had an interesting storyline, but I never used him.
Okay.
Man.
What about Mario, Donkey Kong?
Well, yeah. I mean, I never did any of the Mario things. I think my big thing, well, one person I loved, or one character I loved from those who had awesome sounds and just things I vibed with, was Kirby. So when he turned into a heavy thing and fell on people, that was my main move. Or when he had
you're
that
one
hammer,
of the people that spams that move.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you have to. What else are you going to do?
Okay.
I love that. I ended people's lives, and controllers were thrown at the TV just because of that move.
I love that.
That move is the best move. Can't tell me wrong. I used to play with sometimes Diddy Kong, but I'll be honest, he did me wrong too many times. I did not.
Diddy Kong did you wrong?
Oh my gosh.
There's a song in that somewhere.
And Omar did me wrong too. I thought he was cool. That little space dude couldn't do nothing for me. Weak character. Gosh. But you know what made me mad? I used to grow up with this person. His name's Lucas. Awesome dude. Still lives in Raleigh. Who, like, his choice of character was always the worst character, but then he'd whoop me and my friend's butt with the worst character. So he would, like, choose Omar or, like, Villager murder us.
That's,
and it would be like,
flex.
How are you murdering us with these stupid characters? Like, Villager would plant a tree, and that would be its move, and then the Villager would knock over the tree. And then if you were next to that tree and it got knocked over, that's the move. It was the stupidest move.
Dude.
And he somehow... Oh, gosh, I could go back to those days
actually
and get so angry.
That reminds me of my childhood friend Ben. When we would play Super Smash Bros. Together, man, he would choose Villager, and
dude,
he would do the same tree chopping move, and I'd be like, this character's amazing. He's so good. That's why you're winning.
Though.
No.
He was terrible. He would use him, or Omar, Villager, and someone else, and he would wreck us. And I'd be like, this is stupid. What? Why? But anyway, real quick, before we get into this first segment, the last question is that you had a contest that you won when you were younger. You said
yes.
You won it, right?
I did.
And it was for Uncharted?
It was for Uncharted, put
That's
on by
ridiculous.
PlayStation. It's pretty, I don't know how this happened.
Wait, and PlayStation itself did an event in Mooresville.
In Mooresville, yes. You can look this up.
What?
PlayStation Road to Greatness, John Madry. It's on YouTube. It has like 200,000
views. Wait a minute, your name
views,
is under this video?
Dude, yes.
What?
Yes. Yeah, and you're making me want to look it up. Like, they better not have taken it.
No, we'll look it up in the future, and we'll confirm it. We actually will have, just to confirm it, here's a photo. We have photos that pop up sometimes during the show.
Oh, okay.
Bang. This Boom. Is the photo of
PlayStation
that.
PlayStation Road to Greatness.
Right here.
Your boy, when he was 15.
Gosh.
It was
okay.
So much fun. They threw it, like,
so that was the option. It was either music or video games. Which route? You're either going to be Ninja or you're going to be Ed Sheeran.
Both.
Which route?
Both. Absolutely both.
That's the goal? Both.
Absolutely.
Right,
yes.
Ooh.
Yes. I program for fun sometimes. I'm working on a video game.
I know. We're going to talk about that. Before we get into that, I want to get into this first little segment. So I usually have these fun little things. They're called Spark. Hi, Spark. Another beautiful Yes Theory photo. Bang. One of my favorite YouTubes. Do you know Yes Theory?
Yes Theory?
Yeah.
I've had to have seen some videos
Dude,
before.
That's what my arm's with, man. Seek discomfort. That's what the tattoo
Ooh,
came from.
Because in discomfort, exactly. One grows.
Exactly. So, we are going to do Spark. I'm going to give you 2 or 3 cards, too, and we'll just ask each other some questions. Get a little icebergs going. Doesn't got to be too long of an answer.
Okay.
Here's some questions for you. You ask me and I'll ask you. We'll do maybe 2 each.
Okay.
2 each. I will start because I'm the host. I always start. Not always, but. All right, let's see. So you know me a little bit. This will answer a good question. I'll answer it for you too. Do you think I arrive early to events, or am I usually fashionably late?
Early.
I'm pretty early. You're and early. I still am not, like, I'm fashionably on time. Like, I look great, and I, like, I don't play around with my look when I go to some events that we're a part of.
Uh-huh.
Like.
I agree with that.
Flannel.
Yeah.
Go to flannel. White tight shirt with a flannel.
Yeah.
And then now, goo in the hair, and you got to put the beard oil in, and life is good. Now you
already said you're answering for me, so.
I'm going to answer for you.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've ever, like, I don't think you've ever been fashionably late. I think you've been late because of things that you were doing before, but that had nothing to involve because it was your fault.
Interesting. That's a good point.
Like, and every time you come, you have a good, like, a good style.
Okay, I appreciate
like,
that.
Like, I don't.
I'm just aware.
I'm trying to roast you right now. I am. I'm trying to be that guy.
I'll roast
it's
myself
fun.
Here. Let me do
it's fun to be that guy.
Let me do a self-roast real quick.
Oh, what do you do? What is the
well,
go-to?
Well, my friends, if they were watching this podcast, if they were in the audience, like, here, they'd be like, he's late. He's always.
With what, though? Like, well, what are you fixing in your look that needs to, like, it's fashionably, like.
Oh, like, fat. Well, or is well, low-key, I'll look in the mirror and be like, is my hair okay?
Your
and then,
hair
like,
looks
overthink
great.
That. And then
it's beautiful.
Okay. Hey, this is supposed to be a roast. Come on.
I mean, we got more time to roast. We'll get there.
Okay. But, well, I right, appreciate
you
your answer.
What you got?
Let me
show
see.
Me
let
something.
Me see. Ooh. Whoa.
Oh, dark one.
Okay. Okay.
I already know the answer.
Okay, bet. And let's see, you're answering for me first here?
Oh, shoot, yeah.
Okay. Or is that, okay.
Yeah.
What do you think I wanted to grow up to be when I was a child?
That's easy. Easy answer. Easy. An exotic dancer.
I might as well leave. I've been exposed. I just, dang.
Wrong. What was it? No, I got it. A sign language professor.
It's really funny because someone tried
that's
to teach
true.
Me sign language as a
that's
kid.
True.
Yep,
I
yep.
I got it
got
right.
It.
I got it right.
He got it.
What is it?
Oh, my actual
yeah.
answer? Such a mix of things. Musician, video game creator, actor, so many things just piled into one. I never focused on one. I would just imagine doing it all.
Okay, well, that's not where my brain went. Exotic dancer was pretty accurate, but anyway,
that's true,
what do you
don't tell anyone?
What do you think I would be, or what do you think it was? I'll give you a clue right now. It's nothing of what I'm doing right now, because you know
lumberjack, all the flannels.
What? Why would you think that?
It's the
lumberjack.
Flannels.
Lumberjack. It's because I have a beard.
That too.
No. Wow. Okay. No, I wanted to be a pilot.
Really?
For, like, American Airlines, yeah. Like, because I'm a big airplane guru. I know
okay.
People that know me kind of know this, but, like, I'll go to, like, Charlotte Douglas or RDU when I was in Raleigh. Grew up in Raleigh. And I would just watch the planes come in and out as, like, meditation. Oh, I was so relaxing. Like, so I've always been. And, like, it's so cool to know that there's a connection to so many cities from, like, the city you're in. So if you wanted to, if you had the money, if you had the whereabouts, and like, you could fly to Munich, Germany today and, like, be there
yeah.
today. I think that's so cool. Or, like,
it
you
is.
Could fly to L.A. today. And, like,
that's incredible.
I think that's incredible. It's so interesting. So, yeah.
I mean, it's
pilot.
Hey, good field to be in for traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, things change. Now I'm a podcaster. okay. Let's see. Would you rather be able to travel back in time or travel to the future?
Oh, my gosh. That's an incredible question.
I'll be real with you right now.
Yeah, go on and give me your answer.
I'm not going to the past. I'll screw something up. I'm too active. Like, I would rename something so stupid. Like,
uh-huh.
I'd rename the high five. Like, right when the first person gave the first high five, I would do some stupid thing like that, and I don't know, I'd come back, and that little thing would be changed. And I'd be like, that's me, you know?
I feel so similar. I was tempted to say the past,
I'd
like travel
future,
there, but
man.
But I think I'm agreeing with you, and here's why. If I thought I could make my past better and go back, or versus me just learning from things and being honestly happy with where I'm at now.
Yeah.
It's deciding between those two things. Honestly, I'm me, and I'm okay with my past. Mm. And it took a while. It took a while, like, for many different reasons. But honestly, I think I'm with you. I'd rather go to the future.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good points. Your turn. What we got? Last one.
Let's see.
Put Spark up. Thank you, Yes Theory. Love me some Yes Theory.
Let's see. Okay, which song would make you go back on the dance floor?
Oh, man. I mean, there's a few. There's always a few. But I'd say one in particular that I feel like has my heart for a few reasons, just because it's that song. It's that song. So real quick, a picture of Knox Powell, one of my favorite artists. Met him multiple times. You're going to be on the podcast soon, Knox. Yes, you are. I'd say Love Letter by Knox. And we kind of talked about this before. He has one of the best, what is it called? A double entendre? Yes, double entendre. See, I know stuff. He has an amazing one with the lyric of Love Letter. And it goes, you know, love letter down. And that's like that lyric alone. I'm like, and that and the beat of that is just like, now she out here writing love letters. He sent her. They gonna be nothing now. They gonna be nothing now. Mm-hmm. And it gets me hype whenever I'm at his concert. I've been to his show at least 4 or 5 times.
Well, I would not dance well, but I would dance to that song. I can confirm.
Appreciate
that.
You. Yes, course, we love you, Knox. What you got?
Oh, for dancing. Okay.
Yes.
Dancing. I wanted to say like this waltz. Because
you dance, tune, as like I said, exotic. You know how to dance. I've seen you hit the cat daddy at some of these shows, and you don't play. Like, okay. You know, we have rhythm. Our stereotype, you know, our stereotypes don't always say that, but we have rhythm.
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere. It's hidden. Right, Marsha? We got rhythm. Yeah, we got rhythm. She confirmed it. We're good.
Okay, sweet. Thank you. Okay. Okay, I know.
I feel like
all that's coming to me is like "Staying Alive" by the Bee Gees. It's such a classic.
I was thinking you would go old school. I thought you'd do that or September, but
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Dude, that song is. Oh my. That's apparently the WNBA is like song, and warm ups. Like I heard that in a few interviews for some reason. I don't know why that I thought of that, but
for good reason.
Yeah,
good reason. Like, great song.
I think like Kelsey Plum said that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, just cold as balls or something with Kevin Hart. But
all I'm hearing is bah, bah,
bah, yep. bah, Staying bah, Alive. Bah, ding. Bah,
bah, bah. No, wait, that's September actually.
Oh, so you chose September.
I will change my
September.
Answer.
September.
Yes.
Ding.
See, good. I have this thing too where an entire song will just play in my head with every single element in it, and I don't even stop it at this point. Dang. It's how it is.
Well, I appreciate you becoming part of the Spark. You mind if I get those cards real quick?
We thank you to Yes Theory.
Always got to plug them until they see this and say, oh my gosh, we want a part of this too. Let's change up the subject a little bit and talk about your Instagram. Because you have some awesome content on your Instagram.
Well, thank you.
That I want to get into. My favorite thing, well, something that I saw immediately when just kind of like stalking you, because I stalked you. I was like, let's see what we got. Like, yeah, that's, you know what, when I'll say this, interesting, when someone says that they have stalked me, I feel warm inside.
We are kind
if
of
it's the right person.
If it's the right person and they're talking about Instagram, maybe.
But for someone that, like, it's pretty much said in convo, like, I've seen your Instagram. And whenever I hear that sentence, I'm like, oh, you've seen it.
Uh-huh.
You've looked. You've done the thing.
And that's the okay kind. That's all right.
So yeah. I stalked your Instagram in a good
way. Thank you.
I promise. And you said something. The opening thing on your bio is day by day, daydreaming the day away. Why that?
Yeah, day by day, daydreaming away. For a few different reasons. As a child and through my life, even as an adult, you know, I've stopped doing it a lot, but I daydream pretty regularly. What I mean by that is I'll like fantasize about where I want to be at. A lot of people recommend you do that. A lot of people say it's good for your mind, good for your mental health, good for becoming the person that you want to become. But I'll be honest, like as a kid, I daydreamed a ton about like if I was in, say, a video game. Like when I'm talking like 5 years old, like Then as I got
That's
older,
when daydreaming happens the most. Keep going.
And as I got older, it would turn into playing music. As I got older, it would turn into, well, more playing music, but on a stage, specific songs, the way I want to perform them. And it's inspired me to get better. Thing is, like, at this point, you know, I still want to talk to, like, my doctor about it and things like that, because there are things out there.
Adulting.
It's not just I'm walking around as a 5-year-old pretending to be, like, a spaceman or something anymore. It's
but
like
we are all, like, kids at heart. So
that
I
is very
it's
true.
Okay. Like
That's
we
very
still,
true.
I mean, isn't it kind of like your kid tendencies kind of bleed into your adult life? Things you're like that things that weren't unchecked or checked.
Yes, very so true. Very
I like
true.
That, man. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe it's all right, but I day by day, daydreaming away.
Hey guys, thank you so much for watching the podcast, and thank you to our sponsor, Queen City Grounds, for providing the location. You can find a perfect blend of coffee, cuisine, and entertainment while you are here. It is in-house made coffee. There is brunch and dinner options. There is a full bar and amazing live events. So come check it out and stay grounded. Thank you to Sonorous Wave for powering this podcast. Sonorous Wave is an amazing music collective based here in Charlotte. Their slogan is artistry versus the algorithm, and they are so good at putting all events into a music setting, and they kill it. They are amazing with every event they are in association with, so check them out. Okay, so I want to ask about something, because there was a video posted on Instagram that you introduced. It was at one of the events that I've been to with you. And luckily I believe I got to introduce you, but you said before you performed, If I Drown is a fire song, check it out. It's one of his singles. Here's the cover for it. Ding. It's amazing. Seriously. And I always ask you to perform it whenever
yes,
I
do.
See you. I'm like, please perform it. Please, please, please. For me. but you asked the audience, like, is it okay if I perform a sad song? And I'm just curious straight up. Have you performed a song before where someone wasn't okay with you performing a type of song, like a sad song?
See, people are nice. And
so you have not had that yet?
I haven't had somebody Good. Outright be like, dude, why'd you perform that song or something like that? And that wouldn't be cool because it's like, you know, but people are generally nice to me, whether they mean to be or not.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they think and whatever they'll say behind my back, people are generally nice to me and I appreciate
that
it for
okay.
that.
That was okay. It can be better.
Now I like hearing criticism. I love
hearing
criticism.
Have you heard something that threw you off, though, from, like, being criticized in a performance or something that was like, oh, that's what you thought? I feel like, because I've even gotten that
yeah,
in my smaller
yeah.
music career. Like,
There was one thing. I don't know who said it to me right now. If it comes to me, I'll remind myself okay. later. But I was like, I tried improvising, and I improvised a ton of lyrics live on the spot.
Did you really?
And it was like pretty sad. Yeah, it was about what I was going through. And some people were Aww. Like, dude, that was your first time like improvising on stage. And I was like, yeah, for real. That was the first time I started. And they were like, dude, do that more often. So I've thought about it. One person was just like, that was improv. And I was like, yeah. And they were like, I can tell. I was like,
Ooh.
Okay, what do you not like about it? And then they're like, well, it's
Stab.
Just, it's improv. It's like, you're coming up with it on the spot. And, like, I could tell they had all these opinions that they just weren't telling me to
they
my face.
They had a roast. They had a roast coming.
They had a roast coming.
They had a good little roast coming. They're about to burn you alive a little bit.
And I was like,
have
you know
ever
what?
Thought of not doing that? Like,
have
they would hit you with that.
Have
that
you ever thought of that?
Compliment like that.
Right, right. Just tell me it sucked. And I'll be like, oh, okay, thank you for your honesty. But whereas if it's like, I don't know, man, it's kind of, then I'm like, okay. Go lie to other people. You're...
Man.
Go on.
You know what people do when they're about to try to lie to you is they take a long breath. So I've had someone that, you know, I have a song called Emotion that's out. Love my song. Here it is. Ding. But interesting thing about Emotion, there was a friend of mine who lives in New York. And I remember I showed it to him. Not that he didn't like the song, but I was like, hey, how did you like it? And all I hear is, whoo. And I was like, I almost looked at him and was like, that's weird. I've never heard like a breath that long. Like, what I know what that indicates. Talk to me. Like, whew. He was not afraid to roast me just a little bit about things I could have done better. I think he liked the song, but ultimately, like, he was not afraid to be honest, which is not a bad thing. I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about, I'm going to pronounce it right. Here we go. Swannanoa.
Yes.
The Swannanoa Gathering near Asheville. So the first time that I had talked to you, we... Well, because I host songwriting dinners. They're going to return hopefully soon. And you went to the first one. Thank you for coming. And we talked about this a little bit, and there's one coming up. You have gone to these, and you got you're a recipient of, yeah, talk to me about this.
Yes.
Like, of scholarships. Like, how did these go, and how what are these all about? Like, talk to me about Swanano a little bit.
So, first off, Tosco Music, nonprofit music organization.
Tosco?
T-O-S-C-O.
I thought you said Tabasco. I was like, ooh.
Tabasco. I like some Tabasco.
That's hot.
But I like Tosco, too.
Okay.
Tosco is a nonprofit music organization that was what got me and my sister, who does music, too, actually. She's
and
a great singer.
You did the performance with the Hozier Too Sweet.
I did.
Fire.
Yes, she's on my Instagram
Fire.
With
Here
me.
Here it is. There's a photo of it. Bro. Fire cover.
Thank
my
you.
My goodness.
You know, I feel like, see, I knew the song. My vocals weren't, like, super warmed up that
don't
day.
Matter.
My sister,
can I just
she
up
did
say
incredible.
It?
She made up for that, in
it
my opinion.
It does not matter, because the way that that sounded, like, y'all's harmony, even if there were, like, maybe a little bit of off notes, which I didn't hear, it sounds so good together. I was
Thank
like,
you.
Whoa, do that more. So,
I appreciate that a lot. We also have a cover of Daydreaming by Lupe Fiasco on there, if you want to see that. So the Tosco Music Organization, they give away scholarships.
Yeah.
My sister won one when she was a lot younger.
Okay.
So years back, before I was even interested in music. So I went with her to the camp, and I just played my video games the whole time.
Yeah.
And literally, I was just on my DS playing, like, Smash Bros, playing...
DS? Dude. DSi?
I had the DS Lite before the 3DS. I had the DS Lite. I wanted the DSi
Lite
with the stylus and PictoChat and, like,
Picto.
All the... The OG social media.
That's the first time I experienced texting. Go on.
I know. The only thing I want to talk about from now on is PictoChat. Listen, the OG social media and what should be the only social media outlet is PictoChat.
Nope.
I swear.
Promise you don't want the problems. You don't want those written texts. I'm good. Go on. So, Tosco.
Okay. So, Tosco Music. They gave a scholarship to my sister. Well deserved.
Yeah.
She has always been an incredible singer. And so later on, when I did get into music, I applied, and I was in
for
with a group
this
for a scholarship that they gave to the Swannanoa Gathering.
Okay, so you were already in the gathering itself, like you went to the
let's
thing.
See, I went a few years without scholarships.
Okay.
Yeah, because it meant a lot to me. I
yeah,
paid
yeah.
to be there. I was young
and
enough.
You're
My
getting
teached
by like Grammy winners or Grant like
yes
people
some
like that.
Some are John Vesner, Kathy Mattea, Don Henry. All people I've been taught by directly.
Wow.
Ellis Paul. Oh man, I can name drop so many people. Vance Gilbert. I love you, Vance.
Just because of I love you, Vance. Here's Vance Gilbert. Ding. Okay, go on.
I've been taught so much throughout my music career by these people, and that's the reason I go back every year.
Well, what is the gathering? So when you're there, are there their classes? Or like, are they on specific subjects? Like, how does it kind of go?
Yeah, they're on specific subjects. I mainly take performance, songwriting, and I should mention there's one week that I go. It's guitar/contemporary folk, and the other weeks are like old time week, fiddle week. I haven't checked those out yet, but
Exotic
I haven't really
Dancing Week. I know you went to that one. You texted me and you said I went to that one. It was fantastic, Tucker. You need to go. And I was like, I can't go, but you should enjoy it.
And then you
said how great it was, and you rated it. And I was like, dang, bro, I'll think about it. And I didn't think about it. Anyway, so all this is happening. You're able. All this is happening. And you're getting taught, and so you said folk, guitar, and is this, how long is it? You said it's only a week, right? You're in this place for a week.
Yeah, each section of the gathering is a week. I go to contemporary folk. And,
okay. And is it different music each week?
Yeah, different styles of music, like old time week, fiddle week, you know.
Oh,
some
wow.
But there's a lot of bluegrass, you know. It's near Asheville. There's all kinds, though. I mean, there was a hip hop artist there one
nice.
Year, and yes, I love hearing acoustic hip hop. One of the coolest things that exists.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And is that technically Gorillaz?
You know what?
Or no?
Kind of.
Okay.
Maybe.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
So talk about the scholarship. So how did that come up when you were there?
Yeah.
And yeah. Tell me how that all went. how you found out, because that's a big deal.
Right. Tasco Music, again, they introduced me and my family to the Swannanoa Gathering, and they have an open mic here in Charlotte at the Evening Muse on Tuesday of every month at 6:30, at least for the summer. Great open mic. That's how I found out about the Evening Muse. That's the first time I went there.
If there's a photo, there's a photo. Ding. There it is.
Such great people in that organization, and they convinced me eventually to go to the Swannanoa Gathering like my sister did.
Nice.
And I learned so much about music, so much about performing, so much about life. Honestly, the people there are a few who have like very interesting ways of teaching you things, and like I still don't fully understand it, but that's part of the magic about it. Like I left there somewhat confused, somewhat in awe, and then but overall just like I'm a better musician now.
There you go.
So I highly recommend people check it out. Respect, I really do. But yeah, that's the reason I come back every year.
That's cool, man. And yeah. Congrats on the scholarships. I bet that was just an incredible experience, first of all. And it's led you to now production, which is awesome, like production and your own songwriting. But I want to talk about one of your favorite bands, because I checked them out. I've known about them, but I did not know much. And you've told me in the past that they've inspired you a lot, and you know kind of just a lot of information about them. And let's talk about Gorillaz real quick.
Okay.
So with a Z. Here they are. Gorillaz. Ding for these characters. I'm going to put up that album that I saw where they're all facing sideways, you know, all sideways facing.
Wait, that's Demon Days.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yep. With friend. I got it. Wait. Dang, I forgot the song. What is it? Feel Good Ink.
Feel good.
There it is. So why are they such a big inspiration for you?
When I was getting into listening to artists in general, after my video game music phase where all I listened to was video game music, I did want to get into hip hop, and a few songs in particular, Daydreamin' by Lupe Fiasco, songs by Run DMC.
Yeah.
But then it almost had to bridge the gap between pop and hip hop for me, because going from video game music to music, there were a lot more similarities I noticed in rock and pop and like even classic rock and stuff like that. So at first hip hop was new to me when I was like a young teenager / maybe like 12 or 11 years old even. But as I started listening to Gorillaz, I noticed immediately, oh, there's a hip hop group that's like a part of this band.
Heck yeah.
De La Soul. One of the greatest parts of Gorillaz is De La Soul, if not the greatest part. The stories, the rhyme schemes, the just authenticity in a lot of what they say.
The double.
And the storytelling. The double entendres.
I can't. I'm there, but I just.
So much of it still goes over my head, but they have an incredible sound. So De La Soul is one of the main ones that they've worked with. Gorillaz continues to have so many different rappers and musicians. I mean, they've had Elton John.
Nice.
They have had Booty Brown.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, The Far Side.
Yeah.
So they connect with tons of artists, and
that's awesome.
They've bridged the gap for me and a lot of other people, trying to get more into hip hop, in my opinion, or trying to go from hip hop to pop. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
So they just kind of bridge all these different musical gaps, and it's not just Damon Albarn. Yeah. I believe, it's not just him doing it, and he knows that. That's why Gorillaz has always been so collaborative, because he's, like, bringing in all these different people, all these different... He's not going to get on there and rap the way that De La Soul raps. Come on. So, I mentioned to you I love the Gorillaz lore, the story behind these four characters.
Yeah.
It's so wild. It's so
convoluted. I saw they put, like, the storylines on their live show, because at one point they didn't come out. It would just be the cartoons, or sorry, the
it would
the
just
characters
be like this, yeah,
and the band wouldn't, like, in the early days of the band, did my research, they didn't come out to their like live tours. Like, it would just be the characters or something, like in a graphic,
yes,
or something. And
sometimes
like,
they would have them on like big TV screens, and they'd come out because the characters are
that's them.
That's Gorillaz.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the live shows, what it looks like. But this is, I wanted, to, you have that love, and I appreciate it, but I wanted to dig a little bit deeper
into
some of your hardships, and I would love to talk about anxiety a little bit.
Okay.
Because, and me and you have had convos just in general about certain things, about problems that both of us have struggled with, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the generalized anxiety disorder that you have. Just talk to me a little bit about it. What is it?
Yeah.
What does it, how does it affect you in different ways and with music? But talk to me.
It affects me in lots of different ways, especially throughout being in such a social industry.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, you have to be social almost. Like you have to make connections.
Uh huh.
Which,
it can be scary.
The homeschool. No, I'm kidding. The homeschool gets you. The homeschool will end you when you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But yeah, so talk to me more.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's been an acquired skill to be as social as I am, to feel comfortable in social environments. There are lots of different reasons for that. Because when I started getting more active, going out, being with new people, meeting new friends, especially as a kid, you know, I've always been younger than most of my friends.
Really?
Almost every single person I've dated even has been older than me.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Almost or every single one. Mm. Yeah. It's been an acquired thing for me to be like, okay, how should I act in this social situation? How about this one? And then I'm always like, oh, okay, I got it now. And then there'll be some like change in the way I'm acting. And I notice that like, or maybe I just get paranoid and I overthink it. I'm like, oh no, like maybe I was sarcastic at the wrong time. Maybe these jokes didn't come off as jokes. Maybe I didn't even come off as sarcastic. Oh, maybe I should have like been nicer instead of telling the truth there. Oh, maybe I should have told the truth instead of choosing to be nice there. All these different things that are just going on that I'm learning to quiet in adult life have been, I mean, they've been there since like 11 or 12 going out before I was even into music, before I was into anything, just like, oh, am I acting right? Oh, should I do this and should I do that? And what I'm doing now is speaking out about it to people who I trust and people I care about. I'm considering therapy. I have not been to therapy, but I have spoken to therapists and even a psychiatrist one time.
Really?
Yeah, I've gotten many, many good pieces of advice, in my opinion. I've spoken to friends who have been through therapy. Yeah. Most of them, if not all of them, recommend it. And I think more people, I'll even say especially men, should be open to it. Like, it's something like, there is that part that I let go of at a very young age that was, I can do this myself and all that. And I'm not just going to blame it on men, but, like, it seems to be a more common thing.
I mean, we
like
have the stereotypes that go towards us with that, that it's harder to open up. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And talk about just struggles and weaknesses.
Yes.
So,
I'll be honest. I think I let go of that at a very early age. Since then, I've questioned, oh, should I have let go of that? Should I have like talked about these different things to different people? Because people may use information again. And then I'm just like, screw it.
Yeah.
You know, can I curse on here?
Sure.
Now I'm like, fuck it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you speak your truth, you should be proud of that and keep going.
Is there, I mean that. First of all, yes. Appreciate you sharing that straight up. I wanted to ask though, like, where did music start to either, like, how did you look at music differently when those things started intertwining? Because it probably wasn't easy to work on music in certain ways or even perform, but just, like, where were the struggles in music? But then where were the achievements in music? So start with, like, the struggles and then where you got better and started to, because you talked about how social this industry is, which it is. Well, so talk to me about the struggles a little bit with this industry.
I started interning at Grindhouse Studios. I was extremely lucky to have that opportunity. And that's where I got so much of my musical education in a way.
Yeah.
I took audio engineering classes at CPCC. Jorge, amazing teacher, he recommended me to Jason Jett, the owner of Grindhouse Studios.
And were all these easy to make, like the connections, when it came to the anxiety side of stuff?
I spoke up because I realized I have to at some point if I want my life to go well. I have to speak up and like say, hey, do you have any opportunities or anything like that? Like, I got to push myself out of my comfort zone. Again.
Yes, theory.
Discomfort.
Yes, theory. Dang. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And like,
it
so
wasn't
you're making
easy.
These. Yeah, I wouldn't think so. You're making these connections.
I will say, at 16 and 17 years old, being in the music industry for the first time, being wanting to learn. Actually, no, 14 when
I
was in the music industry trying to make music.
You got there.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy, man. It's one thing I appreciate about you is that, and I've only known you for, you know, a short time of our lives, but one thing that I appreciate, which I think is very underrated, is that not only do you know how to carry a crowd, but you know how to interact with the crowd and get people ready for your music. Not everybody has that, to like talk between songs. And I feel like that's a part of, there was probably a real struggle with that, to get, when it came to anxiety and how you're supposed to kind of just talk about yourself with your music. So I appreciate that you do that, because I know that it's now a little bit easier for you to have a little bit more fun on stage and to get the audience to laugh, to get the audience on your side. And I've never seen you in the aspect of what you had to deal with. But what I can see now is that you're present. It's obvious that you have such a easy way with performing, and you have a comfortability that I feel like a lot of people have a hard time gaining, especially from what you have. I mean, you say you have a disorder, which is like, especially with that, it's amazing to hear what you've accomplished, but also that the journey is nonstop and you're getting that comfortability back. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
I'm going to jump into, we have like two or three segments left. We're going to jump into a Would You Rather segment.
Okay.
So we're going to do this right here. I'm going to ask you Would You Rather questions, probably 8 to 10 of them, and rapid fire. You say this or that.
Okay.
Let's see if you do well. There's definitely a wrong. There can be. All right. Would you rather apologize more or argue less?
Argue less.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
There's a wrong there. No, wait. Apologize more. If I mean it, apologize more. But if I don't.
Argue.
I'd like, rather just be like, I'm not going to argue.
I'd rather argue
away.
Less. I'm non-confrontational. Us Libras don't do that. Equilibrium. Would you rather eat soggy vegetables or stale chips? That should be an easy answer. Don't be wrong here. There's a wrong answer.
Bro, soggy vegetables. I'm sorry, dude. You got to eat your vegetables. I've made soggy vegetables before, and you know what? This is supposed to be quick fire, and I'm failing.
He's wrong. Would you rather deep dish or thin crust pizza?
Deep dish.
I'd get thin crust.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't mind deep dish.
I like
but
the thick crust. I would prefer just like thick crust normal pizza.
Thick? You said thick crust?
Yeah, like the or the cheesy stuffed crust.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I just think it's too much bread, so I don't mind the extra the smaller of that,
okay.
Which is why I go towards that.
Okay.
Would you rather crush a snail shell with your teeth or scale a fish with your fingernails? That is interesting.
I'm gonna say,
is the snail still in the shell?
Right, because the fish is dead. We know the fish is alive here. At least we're thinking. So I'm gonna say the snail because it might just be the shell. Maybe I can like take the snail out of it first.
Yeah. Pause. What? Oh, Marsha.
Are you serious?
Is the fish dead though? I would think.
Does that matter? Okay.
All right, I can't do snail shell. That snail's still there. Nope.
If that snail's still there, then no, I can't do that.
Would you rather always eat dessert first or skip dessert? Skip dessert. Health.
Wait, what was the question?
Would you rather eat dessert first or skip dessert?
Skip dessert.
There we go.
There's my first.
There we go.
First.
Would you rather wear shackles or a straight jacket for 48 hours?
Shackles.
I would do a straight jacket just because I think that would be incredibly interesting to just do. Like, it would probably test my mental really hard because you can't use your arms.
For me, it's shackles, but depends on who
I'm
with.
Oh, my
gosh.
We're not going down that route. Pause. Big pause there. All right, last two. Would you rather read a book or listen to an audiobook? I have a book in my hand.
Read a book.
Love you audiobooks, but no. Bang. We got to find a good one. Let me find a good one for us. Oh. Would you rather watch football or the Macy's parade on Thanksgiving?
Macy's parade. I have a lot of good memories with my family watching that.
I mean, they go hand in hand though. It's not like,
hey, I don't mind football.
Hand in hand.
I love watching the Super Bowl with my family too.
Yeah, but that's not Thanksgiving football. I mean, Super Bowl, yes, but like, I feel like you can't have one without the other. So I'm going to go with both, but I love football,
okay.
Even though my Panthers stink. I'm crying on the inside. All right. Last thing I kind of want to do is a little thing called I call it a honey roast, but it's just a way to kind of show appreciation to the guests that come on this show. Because I've had some amazing people here, and I feel like it's very important to always remind you what you've done since I've met you and my appreciation. And one thing I just want to start off by saying is that you've been really good with your, I think one thing that you've done with me in particular is that you're very quick to allow me to like speak my mind, and you hear me, because we've had deep conversations before, and you've allowed me to just, if you needed a little bit of advice, you've been like, yeah, like tell me what's up. Like, I would love to just hear what you have to say about certain things, because, and some of those things have been about like anxiety and stuff in that regard. And I've just appreciated that a lot. So thank you for always being open-minded when we've had conversations. I think your style of music is very, very underrated, and it's going to take off in some way, shape, or form. I don't know how, because that's your goals. But one thing I do know is that when you perform, you hold an audience, and it's almost like you can hear a pin drop when you perform. And it's not hard to see that, like, we could easily all be looking at someone that could be a very dangerous professional songwriter, and someone that could be on the same path as like James Bay or Hozier or something like that. Like, I get those vibes from you. And I just think you've also just been a very good friend of just being there for me. You came in to a concert that I needed you for a while back, and you performed and you finished the night off the concert because we needed someone to perform. And I called you, and an hour later you were there. And you just, like, that type of stuff does not go unnoticed. It's so powerful. So I just want to thank you. It was very easy for me to ask you to come on the podcast because I appreciate just your presence, but also just I appreciate what you've done for me. And thank you.
Thank
you. Seriously, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Guys, listen to him, bro. John Madry. Madry Official. At Madry Official. That's right. Check out all his reels. He's got some funny reels, trust me, and just amazing music. Thank you guys so much for watching. Anything else to say? Anything coming up, John? Anything? If not, no worries, but if there is anything.
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. But listen to his music. My favorite song, If I Drown, but you got so many others. What other singles do you have out?
I have out, and okay, I am re-releasing a couple.
Cool.
Pictures.
Pictures.
Which will include my sister's vocals.
Love it.
And some of my other family members' vocals.
I love it.
Post more about this.
Yeah.
Hard to Find is coming back out.
Nice.
Upcoming, Julia.
All right.
I'm very excited for that.
Cool, man. Well, thank you again for coming on the show. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Make sure to like and subscribe, and we will see you next time on the Tuckered Out Podcast.